Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. Yeah, we're live, folks. This is not a podcast. Well, actually, we're live, and it will be podcast after the show is over. So I hope you guys, if you can't get to listen live, you can always podcast the show and listen later and listen to as many of the recorded and processed shows that you want. That's right here on my Blog Talk website. It's interesting. It's it's a whole range of things we talk about here. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. If you haven't tuned in, podcast the show for later, because I know a lot of times people can't listen, even though they might want to listen. They're busy. People are busy. But don't forget to, podcast the show for later and listen, because, you know, I mean, if you miss one show, you miss a hell of a lot, because I put a lot into these shows because I love them. And I know that you are interested in a lot of things that we talk about here on the show. So welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest is Dr. Rosie Kuhn, PhD. She's going to be talking about, I'm looking at her website. She's going to be talking about internationally authentic, fullest expression of your essential self. Okay, if I read it right. I have this great big old microphone in my face, so I might have read it wrong. I don't know. But anyway, she's going to be on the show. If I haven't told you anything about her, then stick around and she'll let you know what she does. I mean, every guest that appears on the George Wilder Jr. Show, it's all about making the world a better place, even if it's about to be torn down to the ground. And we're going to try and make the world a better place. We're going to get out there and do the right thing and get down into the trenches, and we're going to help and try to make the world a better place out here, because I think it can be done. I do think it can be done. And I'm just one of many talk shows around the globe that is about the same thing, making the world a better place. And we want everybody out there to be kind to one another, be nice, stop fighting, stop yelling, stop screaming, stop bitching, and get out there and do something around in your community that's going to benefit your community and its neighbors. So that's the good thing about it. I mean, you can do something. I mean, if you, there are so many people out here that sit around on the couch, lay around, watch TV, drinking beers, plunging down or gulping down pizzas, whichever one you want to call it, and complaining about this or that in the country or and not doing a damn thing. Stop complaining and get up off the couch, put down the pizza, and go do something in your community that's going to better your community. And if you don't like what's going on in the world, don't sit back and let other people do the job for you. You get out there, you do the job yourself, you know, because it's all about you. You know, it's not about me. It's about you getting out there and doing, fighting a good fight. You want to save your country, right? You want to do something to benefit your country. And it feels good when you're helping someone else out. That feels great. They're gratified and you're gratified. It doesn't always have to be money. You can always give up your time, your efforts, you know, your knowledge, you know, and sometimes this helps out more so than money does. Money, it helps, but you know, you can also give up your time, and that's great. Do something to make the world a better place. And if you have an idea on how to make the world a better place, hey, this is the show for you. Let us know, what's your idea of how to make the world a better place? It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be hard. It could be something simple. You know, even if it's been said 1,000 times, you know, I mean, hey, wow, this show right here welcomes any kind of input in on making the world a better place, a safer place, because God knows we need it now. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. I'm on Amazon.com. I'm all over the place, Twitter. And Donald Trump is at it again. Sometimes I don't even want to mention this guy on my show, but sometimes you just have to, because he's always doing something controversial, something without thinking, and suddenly it's a joke to him. But I don't know. Right now, I'm pretty sure you guys, if you follow it, you heard this guy is bashing Arnold Schwarzenegger again for low ratings on The Apprentice, a former television show that he was host of. You know, he's a former television host of the show, Apprentice. I think this is Arnold Schwarzenegger's second, third, or fourth show that he's done so far in succession. And the ratings have been low. And Donald Trump is blaming Schwarzenegger for the ratings low on this show. And Donald Trump is also the executive producer of the show. So his name is in the credits, you know, when they start flowing at the end or the beginning. His name is up there in the credits on the show while he's president of the United States. I don't think that sounds like a conflict of interest to me. If any other president was doing it, Congress would probably have drawn up impeachment papers by now. But anyway, he was at some breakfast or some dinner or something. And this guy is the president of the United States. Why in the hell is he worried about ratings of some television show? He's the president. He's the American president of the whole country. The whole world is watching him. And all he can think about is the ratings on a TV show that he was once a part of. And not any longer, but he has some sort of interest in it because his name is on credits of the show as executive producer. So he still has some sort of influence or input for that show. And he's bashing Arnold Schwarzenegger for the low ratings of the show. And and I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't think it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's fault at all that The Apprentice, Donald Trump's former television show, I know it's not the ratings fault, is not Donald. I mean, the ratings fault is not Arnold Schwarzenegger's fault. It's Donald Trump's fault. You know why? Because Donald Trump's name is in the credits. And the majority of the American people do not like Donald Trump, or they do not, share his interest or his policies. It's Donald Trump's fault, because think about it. When Donald Trump was being inaugurated, he was inaugurated into the office of presidency with the lowest approval rating of any president, any U.S. president in the history of the United States. And he has the nerve to bash Arnold Schwarzenegger for low ratings on a show that is, in my estimation, is because of Donald Trump and his name and his affiliation with the show. I believe if The Apprentice was not affiliated in any way with Donald Trump, the ratings of The Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger would probably go through the roof. But the mere fact that Donald Trump's name is in the credits of the show while being president of the United States as executive producer of the show is the reason why the show is failing. And it will continue to fail as long as Donald Trump shows some sort of interest in the show. Nobody's going to watch it. Nobody wants to, not because of Schwarzenegger, it's because of Donald Trump's affiliation to the show and the way he keeps bringing it up all the time. The more Donald Trump talks about The Apprentice while being president of the United States, more people going to turn away from it. Because they don't like him, they don't like his policies, they think he's unfit for office. Period. But I like the way Arnold came back at Donald Trump, saying that maybe we ought to switch jobs. You take my job, I'll take your job, and maybe I and the rest of the world, we can sleep at night. I totally agree with that. That was a good comeback on this idiot. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a Donald Trump fan, you might as well turn this radio show off right now, because I'm getting ready to say this guy is totally unfit for office. I mean, there's a lot of other things that's going on in the world, and all he can do is think about a goddamn television show. You know what I'm saying? And he's picking all these people for his cabinet, for these agencies around the country. I mean, these guys, are all these people are questionable. I mean, he just drained the swamp of these people, and these people going to be, I mean, Donald Trump, and he's just, there is so much. I mean, if I go to Huffington Post, if I go to The Hill, if I go to Washington Post, New York Times, you know, it's going to be more and more garbage coming from Donald Trump, coming from this administration. That's ridiculous. His fight with the press. That's one of the things he should not do. He should not be at war with the press, but he is, because the press is one of the reasons why he's president of the United States. They gave him so much free time. They gave him so much free airtime when he was campaigning. The press is one of the reasons why he's in office, no matter even if they were saying negative things about him, because it kept him in the limelight. It kept him in the newspaper. It kept people talking about him. But for him to keep harping on things that has nothing to do with the United States, and another thing, there's many things, but the travel ban, they keep saying it's not a ban. Then they say it's a ban. Then it's not a ban. Then it's a ban. Then it's not a ban. These people don't know how to get their fucking act straight. They think we are crazy. They think we are the stupidest people that ever walked the earth. They lie, they spin, they lie, they spin, they lie some more. And yet they they are in control. They have the power. But I want to say this once again. We have the power. We have people power. We are more than they in terms of numbers. You know, Donald Trump can be ran from office. Donald Trump can be impeached. And that's another thing. I don't know why Congress do not get it. its act together and start impeachment proceedings here. This is one time where it's needed. This guy is totally uncontrollable. He's mentally unfit. And that's not just the George Wilder Jr. show saying that. That's doctors from around the country who are or have been observing Donald Trump and his actions, his stupid actions, ignorant actions, and the things that he does, the things that he says. You know, I mean, and the lies that Donald Trump does not know. Him and his goons, I call them goons, they can't stand the truth. They cannot stand it. And yet these guys are running the country. Donald Trump has already said, he has already used the word nuclear, if I can say it, nuclear. Okay, excuse me. My throat is a little harsh. And using the word nuclear, you know, in a comical sense, from his standpoint, from what he said he was just making a joke. But you don't joke about things, about nuclear things. You don't joke about having when you have your hands on nukes. You know, this guy is just, I don't know why Congress do not get their heads out of their butts and impeach this guy before he does something, gets us all killed. And then lie about it, and then lie his way out of it. And it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. You did it, Donald, just by being in office. He is assaulting and threatening our allies around the world. I mean, we're losing allies around the world in droves. People are looking at us. We're stupid. We're the stupid country now. We're the ignorant country now. You know, but I think most leaders around the world, I think that they know that it's not the American people that are crazy or loony. It's the American president. And I think that's what some of them are seeing right now, because most of them are when they're venting their ire, they're doing it at Donald Trump, not at the American people. You know, so this guy's got to go. This guy's unfit. What has to happen before the Congress get it? Donald Trump is a Republican, and you've got Republicans are saying that this guy is unfit. So why are you voting with him? Why are you agreeing with him? Why are you not doing this? And one of the things, I don't know why Obama isn't coming out of wherever vacation or wherever he is and saying something about this. I guess he's just going to, I mean, he's not in office. He's been in office eight years, and I'm still trying to figure out what has he done for Black people or anybody for that matter. I can rattle off a few, but that's just a few. But Donald Trump is just, he's a danger to America. There's no doubt about it. This guy he's unhinged. There are doctors around the world and in America says that this guy's crazy. He's a loony. I mean, this is coming from psychiatrists, you know, people who know. I mean, if you're sick, if there's something wrong with you, you don't have to be in the hospital or a clinic. A doctor, a trained doctor, can just look at you and tell if everything's okay with you. I can't even do that. I can look at people sometimes and tell when they're sick, especially when it's so obvious. You know, but Donald Trump has a problem. There is no doubt about it. This guy's tweeting. He's not going to give up tweeting. I mean, this is crazy. He's gonna tweet the national secrets out to the enemy. And most of the time his tweets are just petty. He could have kept that crap to himself. And there are so many people calling him a three-year-old, five-year-old child, you know, who lost his toy and crying about it. This guy, he is unfit for office. Excuse me, it's the way I feel. You don't have to agree, but that's the way I feel. And you don't have to hate me because of it, because I do think we're adults. We can agree to disagree. 347-857-1762. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It is cold outside, folks. It's at least in Chicago. It's freezing. For the last few days, it was pretty mild for winter. But winter has returned, and it is howling. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see what we can do. Yeah, I think that Donald Trump and some of his policies, we're going to have to fight those. And I'm surprised that this past weekend, there weren't many protests out there in the street protesting Donald Trump, but there were some. The UIC Berkeley in California, some guy was going to speak, some alt-right wing nut Donald Trump supporter was going to speak, and the students there didn't want that, and I applaud them for that. And Donald Trump, he tweeted back that he threatened to take away their funding. Now, this is Donald Trump. This is classic Donald Trump. Do something he doesn't like, and he's going to come back at you and try to ruin you. That's petty. That's garbage. You know, ruin you in some kind of way. Have you lose your job. He fired this woman over last week, and the acting attorney general. She had been in the job for about, I read somewhere, for 37 years, and he up and fired her because she didn't believe in his travel ban. His Muslim ban. So he fired her. Wow. And I saw a protest sign saying, fire Donald Trump, fire Donald Trump. I think for the rest of Donald Trump's tenure as president of the United States, there are going to be many, many, many protests. I mean, everywhere he walks, somebody's going to be protesting, you know, and I don't know. It's just, we're in a crazy time now, folks, and we have to speak up. We have to do something. We just can't lay back and let other people do our footwork for us. We got to get out there and do our own footwork. We got to fight ourselves for this country because Donald Trump and his goons are about to take it over. And then blame everything and everybody else. And there's no one to blame but Donald Trump. You have to remember something. Donald Trump won the presidency with a minority of vote. Few votes. He won the states with the most electoral votes. He lost the popular vote. And he was pissed off about that. Damn. He lied and said it was Muslims who voted illegally. And that was a total lie. And I, you know, and everybody was, you know, telling him that. So I guess he backed off that, you know, because I don't hear him saying that the popular vote was he lost a popular vote because of illegal aliens voted. And that was a total lie. You know, that was a total lie. And they just keep lying. They keep the hits coming. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It has been a blast. Let's see if we can do this.
Next on the to-do list, when we take over the DNC.
Oh, Michael. My God.
Ashley.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name.
That was Ashley Judd at the Women's March a week and a half or so ago. And she was on fire, folks. I just love that clip, and I'm going to keep playing it because I think that's the best performance that I've ever seen her give, because she's made a lot of movies. She's actually a movie star, but that's the best performance And they're talking about the Oscars. They should call Ashley Judge up and give her, and she can do that. That was Ashley Judge from the Women's March, and she was definitely talking about Donald Trump. All right, let's go to the phones. Okay.
Hey, George.
Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, George. It's Rosie Kuhn speaking.
Hi.
I'm your... Did I call the right number?
Yeah, you called the right number. I'm just trying not to talk over you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm here to tell my story a little bit and maybe motivate people a little bit.
That's why you're here. Go right ahead. Maybe you can motivate me
all
too.
All right, great.
Okay? All right. Let me say this. Let me say this. Dr. Rosie Kuhn on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. And thanks for sharing. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm a little bit, I hadn't heard that clip before by Ashley Judd, and I was like, oh my gosh, my story or my perspective is just so different from being nasty. And it's, so I'm like, oh my gosh,
that's okay.
This will be very interesting.
No. This show is, it's a variety show. Anything goes on this show, you know, as long as it's about helping the world to be a better place. You know, I mean, there's a variety of topics and things that go on this show, but it's all in the same realm of just motivating people, getting people to do things that they should do, not to sit around and, you know, get their health together, stuff like that. It's a motivating show on every aspect.
Got it. Yes. I could tell, but in listening and looking at your shows, it's great. So, where I'm at in this moment is I'm just turning 65 in April. I am a life coach. I have a PhD in transpersonal psychology, which is basically spiritual psychology, if you will. And I didn't grow up to be a smart person or an academic or to have a PhD. In fact, I had like a C minus average in high school and barely got into college and had a C minus average when I left there. So I didn't,
you know,
my intention,
you know,
yeah.
You know, my son is something like that. And I'm hoping that maybe he can go into college and get himself a PhD on being a C average. So, you know, you just motivated me right there that maybe he can do this too. Thank you.
It's a great start.
Yeah.
So, you know, my parents did, I grew up in outside Detroit and, 8 brothers and sisters. My pop was a doctor and MD, and they were alcoholic, mm-hmm, yeah, and we were quite dysfunctional. So the best I hoped for was to get out of there, get married, have kids, and then just be happily married. And I was happily sort of not married. I left my marriage when I was 26. I was married like 6 years and just tried everything I could to get out. And I finally did. He was a good man, but I just was not happy. It wasn't fulfilling. I found a program where I could start to study therapy, being a marriage and family therapist, but I had to like go back to school and get my grades up so that I could actually get into graduate school. And so I became a master therapist in marriage and family therapy, worked in Nova Scotia, went out there to live because it was so beautiful. And my parents thought I was crazy. And again, that was sort of the second start of a not normal life. Was to go to live in Canada and then in Nova Scotia. I worked in recovery out there for 8 years, working with people that were alcoholics and drug addicts and their families. And it was a beautiful life. I loved it. And while I was working out there, there was a fellow who from the United States who moved there to build himself a 93-foot schooner. And so we met, and I went out on the boat, and I actually fell in love with the boat. And then after that, I fell in love with the man and
wow,
ended up going sailing, leaving
great.
My job. So the piece I'm going to read to you in a little bit is from that that part of my life. So I crossed the Atlantic Ocean with him in 1991, I guess. I was in my 40s. And it was a transformational experience. And I never expected that. In fact, I thought I was going to die out there. I expected to die out there.
Wow.
That turned my life around.
Why did you expect to die out there?
I don't know. That's part of what I'll read to you in a few minutes here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm at your website, and you don't look 65.
Oh, well, that's a good start, George.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, I'm only 64. I'm 64.
Okay. All right.
But having worked in recovery in Nova Scotia, it's like there was something missing in the therapy world for me. And what I found through the process of working with people in recovery was I started to recover myself from being an adult child, if you will, adult child of alcoholics, a codependent, love addict, just any end and more. But that was the start. So I started to recover through the 12-step program. I started to focus on that there's something greater than just this life, and started to expand the sense of a spiritual world, spiritual reality. So when I went sailing and had a transformative experience out there, it was like, wow, okay. So that experience on the boat lasted a couple of years, and then I found a school out in California, which at the time was called the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology. And there I got to integrate what I had learned as a therapist into a practice that allowed for spirituality and life coaching, which from my perspective takes people on a leap of faith. They have to go from here now and in a way let go of everything that doesn't work, or as Yoda says, let go of everything that you're afraid to lose in order to move forward and in order to have what you say you want. So I found that everything that had come to that moment was perfect for bringing me to the life that I wanted to live in the way that I wanted to contribute to people's lives. So that's what I've been doing. My first book I wrote when I was 56, I think, called Self-Empowerment 101. And the second book I wrote was called The Unholy Path, The Unholy Path of a Reluctant Adventurer.
Yeah, and I see that.
So, go ahead.
I see that the Self-Empowerment 101 you have here was very popular.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a great book, and I keep having people, even though I wrote it a number of years ago, I still have people write me and say, thank you for writing that book. It's great. The whole title is Self-Empowerment 101, Reenchantment with Our Own Capacity. With our own capacity for empowering ourselves and others. And
even though it was written
to me, that's a,
even though it was written years ago, there's some aspects of it that can actually be put into play today.
It's universal, basically.
Okay.
What I'm saying in this is what I'm saying is here's who we are as spiritual beings, as universal energy of beings, we're 100% potentiality, we're 100% power. And how we choose to use our power, how we empower ourselves to choose, is what we always have available to us. And we can choose to look disempowered, we can choose to look and feel like a victim, but we're choosing. And in that choice making, there's empowerment. Does that make sense?
It all makes sense. Let's talk about your books. I'm on your book site here, and you have about 6 or 7 books. And I see Self-Empowerment 101. You know you are transforming when you are, you know, something like that. 101.
Yep.
What is that one about?
Yes. You know you're transforming when is ways for people, if they're just one-liners or one or two sentences per page, they're 101, that says you know you're transforming when your life looks this way. So, for instance, you know you're transforming when you're on the highway and you're no longer bitching and complaining, but you're actually in a place of gratitude. Or you're practicing gratitude, or you're laughing more, or you find yourself being more generous. I mean, I'm being just very, very general. I have to pull those off the shelf, but but it's those kinds of things where you know, and that one was written from a very short period of time, like a couple of hours in a sense, because I started out with the idea that most of us are managing and coping with life and life issues. And as long as we're managing and coping, we're not transforming. But that place of transformation, when you're transformed, there's no management and coping. You're living free of that need to manage and cope with specific issues. So it's been, that was for me the inspiring thought that just said, well, you know you're transforming when you're not managing your eating, you're not managing your relationships with whatever, you know, work. You're actually living in a thriving, content place with your life.
So okay, the unholy
path. That was the start of that one.
Okay, the unholy path of a reluctant adventurer. That's a beautiful title. I love it. I think it's great.
Thank you.
No problem.
When I separated, I had two young children, and in their best interest, it made sense for them to stay with their dad. So I gave up the custody of my kids so that they could have the stability and the security in their own little beds while I kind of grew myself up and got to a place where I could be stable and have them living with me. So the whole book is about how I came to make that. Who is that person who would make that choice? Because that's not who I was. That's not what I would do. You know, it just, I didn't have that kind of consciousness. So it was the start of saying, how did this person get to make this decision? And then the follow through with what happened, the unfolding of that in terms of going to school, like I said, getting a master's degree, moving to Nova Scotia, crossing the Atlantic, and the rest of it. But all the places where there was a calling, there was a spiritual calling to do something that was beyond normal, beyond what was expected. And so the unholy path of a reluctant adventurer is listening to those callings and choosing, even though it is against consensus reality. For me to leave my children, it was against everything, especially that was in the 70s, late 70s. So that was really against. Yeah. And my mother and my father, everyone was very angry and didn't talk to me for years. It was very isolated, but I knew it was the best thing for my children, and that's what that's what I chose. So that's
the ABCs, the ABCs of spirituality in business.
Yes,
is that your latest?
No, that I wrote. Someone asked me to write blogs for their business site, and he said if you write 26 blogs, you'll have a book, like once a week.
Oh, wow.
And I go, all right, well, no one's writing about spirituality in business, so what could be more simple than ABC of spirituality in business? We're talking about acceptance and allowing and kindness and consideration and those kinds of things. So, A is for acknowledging people for who they are and how they contribute to your life in a good way.
You are a great, I mean, it seems like you are a great writer, and you seem as though you enjoy what you do. And some of the things you write and put out there and publish is some of your writings actually based on some of your own experiences?
I would say 98% of it is based on my own experience. If not as the person, for instance, the unholy path or things that I talk about as in self-empowerment. But if it's not about me specifically, it's about people I've worked with. So my interpretations or my experience as a coach, as a therapist, or as a person who's interpreting, here's how it shows up. And for the last 7 years, I've been in a huge, what I call a spiritual immersion process, where there's a point in a lot of people's lives where they have a spiritual crisis. It may come through divorce or illness. It may come through losing a job or choosing a different job. But there are those places where things are happening, and there's a sense of, I don't know what to do, or I'm out of control, or this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And so quite often there's a spiritual crisis. So a lot of my writing has been about the spiritual immersion process and what it's like inside there, in as a human being. A lot of times people don't talk about what it's like actually in the human experience of whatever it is that they're being in. So a lot of my writing is to really allow people to hear an experience of anguish and despair, and not from a depressing kind of thing, but like I've had people write me back and say, thank you for saying that, because that's how it's been feeling for me. And I go, thank you for saying that, because it's nice that my writing is contributing to people's own awareness and saying, I'm okay, I'm normal, because I'm human, I'm having these experiences.
Yeah, you love that feedback. You because that feedback tells you you're hitting some space or something. You love that feedback that you get from your writing. You just love it. I love it. All right, thanks for being on the show. Tell us where we can go find your books and writings and blogs.
So my writing can be found at theparadigmshifts.com. The Paradigm Shifts, PARADIGMSHIFTS.com. You can Google Dr. Rosie Kuhn, KUHN, and you'll find me there. Mm-hmm. And that's where you, and also on Amazon, if you Google Rosie, or, you know, search Rosie Kuhn, KUHN, my books will come up. And there's quite a few. There's another one called If Only My Mother Had Told Me, 101 Pearls of Wisdom I Had to Find Out for Myself. So, and then the third one is of that series is Me, capital M-E for Miraculous Existence. It's 101 Indispensable Insights I Didn't Get in Therapy. So those are just a few of what you'll find out there.
Wow, Dr. Rosie Kuhn on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to say thanks for all you do, because what you're doing is great. It's beautiful. And it's a lot of people out there that are in need of those kinds of services. Believe me, because I meet them and I talk to them every day and all the time. And I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want to say one more thing. Would you like a link of this show with you can put it on your website or your blog, and your fans and can come to your blog and your blog or website and listen to you on this show. Would you like a link? I can send you that as soon as the show is processed.
Absolutely. Thank you, George, for that.
No problem. And you have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for what you do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Rosie Kuhn on the George Wilder Jr. Show, PhD on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, folks, let's see what we got here. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be back right after this.
My son has been arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know. And in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Good morning and welcome to AM Joy. Less than 24 hours ago, on Holocaust Remembrance Day, Donald Trump signed an executive order banning...
President Obama has failed black people. Now, before I go in...
It's time for Donald Trump to resign as president. Admittedly, it's been an interesting couple of days, but for...
Johansson is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment, no questions asked, Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, "They saved my ass and some other parts too." When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options, she was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body, and her then partner, without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo! Yes, boo! There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's health care initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's health care available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporation. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration benefits from taking the power away from us. Don't give up your power. Don't.
You're watching The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show live, broadcasting live from the city of Chicago. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Rosie Kuhn, PhD, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. It says here Donald Trump is being sued. And I can hear people saying, okay, so what's that? You know, he's being sued again and again and again and again and again. I mean, and they are constantly and steadily investing his Russia ties. Yeah. And, it's just, I don't know. I'm just speechless sometimes to see that and to know that Congress is sitting on his heels when it comes to holding Donald Trump's feet to the fire, because lately his feet have been in his mouth. And he is unfit to be president of the United States. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know why it's taken Congress so long to realize this. I mean, let's say if Trump is impeached or he's ran out of office, then the next in line would be Mike Pence. And I don't like a lot of his policies, but I think he will make a better president, a Republican president at that, than Donald Trump. Donald Trump he just rubs people the wrong way. I mean, he rubs people in his own party the wrong way. And a lot of them are distancing themselves from him. They're distancing. Oh, wow. My mouth is stuck. Anyway, I don't know how these congressmen can live with themselves knowing that this guy is about to tear the country apart. It's just not fair. And this is why this show is here, to help that. Hopefully that will not happen. And that is why this show is here, to try and make the world a better place. But, you know, I mean, like Scarlett Johansson just said, we have a lot of work to do. Did anybody ever think that the work we've done in the past up to now was over? No, we've got a lot of work to do. This man is dangerous. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. He's more and even a lot of the people who are in his inner circle knows that. You can see it on their faces. You know, I mean, Donald Trump is treating the White House like a television show. He's treating it like it's the Apprentice, the television show that he once was the host of. And everybody that's around him, you know, they're just waiting for him to say, "You're fired." I mean, it is like a television show in that White House. If you know, because Donald Trump, one of the things I know about Donald Trump, he loves to have that camera on him. I mean, Donald Trump loves that camera. He wants you, me, and everybody in the world to love him. He wants everybody to like him. He wants everybody to believe in him. He wants everybody to kiss his ass. I mean, that's what he wants. He wants to be treated like a king or an emperor, you know, of the United States. He wants to be seen as your savior. And he's none of that. You know, because he's making a mockery of the United States by insulting other world leaders. And he's being sued. I mean, this guy's got about, I'm not talking about the suits against him before he became president. I'm talking about the new suits, the brand new lawsuits upon him as being president of the United States. He's got a court date. I don't think he... I believe he had two or three court dates before he became president, but I think he bought off and paid off those people and they decided to drop the charges or something like that. That had to be what happened, because he had two or three lawsuits, two or three court dates. We were all talking about him, but somehow they did not materialize. So we figured that Donald Trump and his goons got to those people and those people paid them off and those folks dropped the charges. To that effect, you know, but he's not fit to be president. I mean, I'm with Keith Olbermann on this. You know, I mean, you know, I can deal with Mike Pence. You know, he's a scoundrel, but he's more presidential than Donald Trump. Anybody can tell you that. That's watching this whole thing from afar. But Donald Trump, he loves the camera. He loves it. I mean, this guy's signing all of these executive orders. And then when he gets through signing them, he turns the book around and picks it up, turns it around, makes sure the camera sees it. "Look, Ma, look what I did. I banned Muslims." You know, yeah. And that's not right. I think that Muslim ban is a temporary ban. There's 6 or 7 countries of Muslims. He's claiming that he's trying to keep the terrorists out of the United States by this ban. But the problem that's wrong with that is that none of those countries that he's banning to keep them out of the United States, none of those countries has ever attacked us. The countries that did attack us, he's not banning those countries. The countries where the Syria and all that, where the 9/11 attackers came from, Saudi Arabia, he's not banning any of those countries. Known countries where the terrorists came to America and attacked America. He's banning countries that have not attacked us. that have not did anything to us. He's banning countries where a lot of those Muslim brothers work side by side with American soldiers. It doesn't make sense. I'm hearing that the reason why he didn't ban those other Muslim countries where the 9/11 attackers came from is because he has business interest in those countries. Oh, okay. Now it makes sense. Yeah. he's doing business in those countries. So he's, it just doesn't make sense, folks. And Donald Trump doesn't make sense. Every day there's something weird, strange, something coming out of the White House. Donald Trump done tweeted that somebody somewhere is a disaster, or they're overrated, or they're nothing, because they do not agree with him on what he's doing or what he has done. If you don't agree, Donald Trump called everybody who did not vote for him losers. He tweeted that out, that everybody who didn't vote for him was losers. So I guess you, me, and everybody, we're losers because we didn't vote. Now, is that the way an American president is supposed to? Is that the way an American president is supposed to present himself to America? No. Donald Trump is unlike anybody else, unlike any other president in the history of the United States. He went in with the lowest approval of any president in history. And yet he can't seem to get The Apprentice, a television show, the low ratings out of his mind, out of his psyche. The guy's nuts. What can I say? And we're stuck with him. And a lot of people are betting that he will not do 4 years. A lot of people are saying he will not do a year. Then there's some people say he'll be lucky if he gets to 6 months, 100 days. That may never happen. That may never happen. And every time Trump tweets out something or says something controversial or says something that we take serious, he'll go back and say he was joking or he meant it in a sarcastic way. I mean, there are some things as president of the United States, especially when it's pertaining to homeland security and keeping America safe, you do not joke about. Donald Trump and his goons are doing things as they come. Donald Trump has never held any kind of public office, any kind of governmental office. Suddenly he's president of the United States. Some of those people that he has selected for these cabinet posts, they've done nothing. Most of them are inexperienced and wrong for the job, you know, and they're wrong for the job. Okay. And, you know, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. America is just, and it's just so real that leaders around the country, other people around the country, looking at the United States as one of the worst countries on earth, because we are banning Muslims. We are keeping out refugees and all this kind of thing. We're not doing it. Donald Trump is doing it. And I'm for sure that the people around the world know that it's Donald Trump, because they know that majority of the people in the United States did not vote for Donald Trump. So this is Donald Trump doing Donald Trump. And this is all about Donald Trump. I mean, they're going to turn the White House into Trump House or something, because this guy is trying to do that. He's trying to do that. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we've been having some great fun, folks. I've enjoyed myself immensely, even though I'm a little bit under the weather, but I'm doing the best I can, and I hope you appreciate that. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to do this right quick.
You're watching The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ M.
Wrong button. I told you I'm sick. I don't feel well. But we're going to make it through this. All right. Let's do a little bit more of a crowded Johansson.
Johansson is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment, no questions asked. Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, "They saved my ass and some other parts too." When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options. She was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body, and her then partner without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo! Yes, boo! There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But Once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's health care initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's health care available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporation. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration benefits from taking the power away from us. Don't give up your power. Don't let the feelings of helplessness make you complacent. I urge you all to make a difference on the ground. Volunteer. Volunteer with organizations that help women seeking a safe place to make some of the most difficult decisions of their lives. Donate to causes.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, Trump, Donald Trump says he's going to meet with Chicago gangs. I'll believe that when I see it. Trump calls concept of a gang meeting a good idea. I said yesterday on the show, if he's going to meet with Chicago gang leaders in some of these high crime neighborhoods to try to stem some of the violence or eliminate the violence, I'm all for it. I'm all for it, but I don't want him to just be, you know, blowing smoke. You know, I want him to be truthful. And this is something that we have been trying to get Obama to do for a long time, is for him to come out to some of these communities, these high crime communities, and talk to some of these young African-American men to put the guns down, stop shooting each other, stop shooting innocent people. But somehow, you know, that never happened with Obama. At least Donald Trump is talking about it. I know I've said some awful things about Donald Trump. I do not support him. I did not vote for him, but I still have a right to voice my opposition against him, you know. But there have been a couple times, I'm not going to lie, there's been a couple times that he said some things that I liked, coming and trying to help to bring down some of Chicago's crime. I like that. I mean, because this is not Dodge City. I know some people around the country and around the world think that the guns are just blazing all the time in the city of Chicago. That's not true. That's not true. The city of Chicago, this is a beautiful city. It's a great city. It was a great city before Mayor Rahm Emanuel got here. And it will be a great city once he's gone. This is a beautiful city. It's not like it's, you know, running with bad guys around the street in all areas of the city shooting. No. The shooting is just the shooting and the killings and the carnage is just mounting in certain neighborhoods, in certain areas of those neighborhoods, pockets of those neighborhoods. You know, but I understand when people say Chicago, oh my God, get the hell away from there. You know, I understand that. But people around the world and even around America has to realize Chicago is not up for grabs when it comes to criminals. Certain parts of it, certain aspects of it, certain areas, the south and west sides of the city. You got some great areas of the south and west sides of the city, just certain pockets that are controlled by these gangbangers, these drug addicts and prostitutes and stuff, but not the entire city. So when you hear about Chicago crime, try to include it in your thoughts that it's not the entire city that's being run down and run over with criminals. That's not true. That's not happening. But, you know, people going, oh, no, Chicago, the entire city is just the killings, the murders. I mean, I understand Donald Trump because I'm sick of the carnage, too. I'm tired of the killings. I'm tired of the murders. I don't like to see little children gunned down. I don't like to see children afraid to sit and stand by the window in their homes, fear that a bullet's going to come through. That's crazy. They can't even sleep in the bed or sit in at the table and eat dinner, breakfast, without a bullet coming through. They can't even rest at night. Families can't even find a good resting place at night because of the noise of the shots. Yeah. And this is crazy. So if anybody anywhere in the city of Chicago want to be a part of bringing down the crime in the city of Chicago, I'm all for it. I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat or whoever. If you got a plan to do something, and right now the mayor and the superintendent, they are, you know, in agreement. They want all the help that they can get. They are admitting that they need help. They are admitting that they are overwhelmed with a lot of the shootings in the city of Chicago. They admit they are reaching out for help. So am I. You know, so am I. So are a lot of other people in the city of Chicago. And even if that's the National Guard, I know a lot of them guys out there don't agree with that. But it's the same thing. If the National Guard can help to bring down some of the crime and carnage, why not? I can understand people wanting resources. That's great. Beautiful. Wonderful. Anything to help young people. And there's people out here already that's doing a great job at mentoring and taking in young people, keeping them off the street and pointing them in the right direction. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. And I think people should keep that up. You know, we're all doing something, but you know, you got those people out there who aren't doing a damn thing. All they're doing is sitting around criticizing and stop criticizing, stop fighting. And get out there and do something. Get out there in your community. Help go out there. Go out there and save someone's life. Mentor a wayward teen or child. You know, because a lot of teenagers run away from home. A lot of kids run away from home. And they wind up in what? Sex trafficking. So, back to my point. So, if he wants to come into Chicago, talk to some of these gangbangers, that's fine. That's great. Beautiful. However, it's just talk until some action put forth. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I think we got about 5 more minutes left into the show. It's been fun. I want to thank my guests once again. Dr. Rosie Kuhn, she was great. She was wonderful. Maybe she can come back on the show if she's still listening. All righty, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are just about off the air, folks. It's been great. It's been nice. We're going to take the weekend off because I'm going to do some writing, but we will be back Monday, February 6th, all the way to February 9th, and then we're going to do it all over again. Thanks for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank everybody, all my you've been marvelous. Thanks. And I want to thank all my listeners out there. You've been great. Bye-bye, everybody.